This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw. And today is another Monday, overreaction Monday for the NFL Sunday slate that we just watched. Our takeaways, the big things we have to take out of Sunday in week now 8 of the NFL season. Of course, at the end of today's episode, we'll preview Monday Night Football tonight. What should we expect in that game? And also, I want to throw out a couple quick things as well, because tomorrow at 4 p.m., almost 24 hours to the date of time of when we were recording this, is going to be the NFL trade deadline. So I'm going to throw some couple names out there to keep in mind that could be on the market. We already have some news today on the trade market with Von Miller going to the LA Rams from the Denver Broncos in exchange for a third and a second round pick. The Denver Broncos have agreed to pay $9 million of Von Miller's contract. So the Rams get him at a bargain now, adding him to that defensive line with Aaron Donald and that entire defensive unit with also Jalen Ramsey there as well. The Rams are really going all in right now on a Super Bowl potentially for what's at stake this season with this Rams team. Right now, building for February right now, getting in Von Miller, just another key addition to this defense. And really, that's just the philosophy of Les Snead, the general manager for the Rams, is making sure that he just trades all the picks he has and, you know, just getting players that are established, getting established stars onto his team like he did with Matthew Stafford, like he did, Sony Michel they got this year was another trade they made at the beginning of the year, like they did, of course, with Jalen Ramsey. Now they're doing it again with Von Miller, trading for these established players. Really, draft capital means nothing for the Rams, general manager. It's really just been their philosophy, and they keep it going. And it's something that they're proud of, and we're going to see how well that works out throughout the rest of the season. But as for Von Miller, we should see him next Sunday night making his debut and return to the field. Missed the last couple of weeks due to injury with the Broncos. He was trying to come back this week. Couldn't quite get there for the Broncos game they had against Washington. Now been traded to the Rams. It seems like he will be healthy enough to make his debut this week, week 9. So this coming weekend on Sunday Night Football for the LA Rams. Exciting times and things to consider as we continue to look forward throughout the rest of the season. But we'll get more into the trade deadline later on this episode. Now let's get to our overreactions, because yesterday, Sunday, October 31st, Halloween, we had a little bit of surprises on Halloween, especially from some backup quarterbacks. Of course, Mike White with the New York Jets, 400 yards in a win against the Cincinnati Bengals for the Jets. He had a great game coming in relief of Zach Wilson. We saw a little bit of Mike White last week. He got the start on Sunday. Big win by the Jets. Big performance by Mike White in that game. He will be the starter going forward into week 9. This coming Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts, we'll see Mike White back in action. No Joe Flacco, who they traded for last week from the Philadelphia Eagles, in that game, depending on how well Mike White performs and steps up from this big debut and his first career start that we saw yesterday. Another big start that was kind of a late one was on Sunday Night Football last night, Dallas Cowboys against the Minnesota Vikings. Cooper Rush came into that game. Dak Prescott was a late inactive, dealing with a calf injury that, you know, they want to get right before they rush him back into the lineup. Cooper Rush had a great game last night, had a go-ahead game-winning fade route up to Amari Cooper. There's a little bit of some funny interactions there in the huddle between Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb over who's going to line up on that left side and get that fade route for the win. Ended up being Amari Cooper. The veteran won that battle over the second-year player. In CeeDee Lamb. But that was a great game and a great performance by Cooper Rush, getting a big win for the Red Hawk Dallas Cowboys that continue now, I believe, up to 7-1. I do believe is their record right now after 8 weeks. They do have one loss right now sitting very heavily in a front runner for the NFC East and potentially a top seed in the NFC as a whole. So it was a great win there by the Dallas Cowboys last night, 20-16. Actually 6-1 now. Dallas Cowboys, they did have the bye. So they played 7 games, 6-1 start for the Cowboys. Great start by them. Great win last night by Cooper Rush at quarterback. And a third backup quarterback got a win as well, Trevor Siemian for the New Orleans Saints. And that's where we begin our overreaction Monday, is with the Saints. Because in that game, Saints versus Buccaneers, Saints quarterback Jameis Winston left the game early on in that one, got carted off the field, was immediately ruled out. And we have now heard that it is in fact a significant knee injury, and is reported today to being an ACL and potentially some damage to the MCL as well. So Jameis Winston will be out for the rest of the season. So in came Trevor Siemian in that game against the Buccaneers yesterday. Siemian finished the game 16 of 29 for 159 and a tutty in a 36-27 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But what does this mean for the future for this now New Orleans Saints squad, who's off to a good start, you could say, right now in terms of what they've done this season? They haven't been the flashiest team by far, but they've gotten some quality wins now. You think back to week one, that win over the Packers, big win. Now this one against the Buccaneers, another big win. They're 5-2 on the season now. They've gotten some quality wins over some tough NFC opponents, but now no quarterback going forward. What do the New Orleans Saints do going forward now at quarterback without Jameis Winston? The first thing you look at is the rest of their roster. They do, you know, of course, has Siemian, who came in yesterday in that one. But they also have Taysom Hill, who right now is currently in concussion protocol. He's missed the last two games, trying to get back out onto the field, you know, in clear protocol. That should hopefully be expected this coming week. You know, going into their week 9 matchup for the Saints, when they will be playing, of course, the Atlanta Falcons coming in this weekend. So it'll be a big game for them on Sunday against the Falcons, another divisional matchup for the New Orleans Saints. And we'll see what they do in terms of their starting quarterback. Does Taysom Hill get cleared by then, or do they roll out with Trevor Siemian? But my overreaction that I'm throwing out here for this one, I think it's Nick Foles time in New Orleans. I think New Orleans should come out here, you know, as we're talking, less than now 24 hours until the end of the trade deadline. Nick Foles is a big, big topic and a big headline in terms of, you look at the quarterback market in terms of a trade, because right now he's sitting as a number three quarterback on the Chicago Bears right now, a former Super Bowl MVP. We know what Nick Foles could be potentially capable of when he gets things rolling. Right now, he has a $6.6 million cap hit this year. If New Orleans wanted a bite on a trade, they could try to do so before 4 o'clock tomorrow to get Nick Foles from the Chicago Bears. I would assume, with how Foles' contract is structured right now, the fact he's their third quarterback on the roster, the fact he hasn't been involved in anything all year, it shouldn't take much to get Nick Foles on the roster in New Orleans. They already made a trade getting in Mark Ingram late last week, and Mark Ingram made his debut back with the Saints last night in that game against the Buccaneers. But Nick Foles, something to keep an eye on here if you are the New Orleans Saints. There's a lot of talk about Sean Payton and Cam Newton, or, you know, any other free agent quarterbacks that could be out there. I think the best shot is going with Nick Foles if they don't want to, of course, roll with Taysom Hill as a starter if he clears protocol. I really like to see a Nick Foles trade happen within the next 24 hours if you're the New Orleans Saints. Another big headline we got to talk about, and another big thing here on my overreaction Monday, down goes the king. Derrick Henry is now out for the next 6 to 10 weeks. It was originally reported to be a potential season-ending injury. It has now been since reported that it is a Jones, I think Jones fracture is the name of it for Derrick Henry, but either way, it's a fifth metatarsal bone that is broken for Derrick Henry in his foot. So now he is going to be out for the near future, and they hope to have him back at least by playoffs and hopefully before the end of the regular season. Mike Vrabel was very adamant that he will come back this year And we, you know, just unfortunate for the King and Derrick Henry for what he's done this year. He's, you know, overall had 79.3% of the team's total rushing this past week. He has 937 yards, which is first in the NFL. And even his 728 yards after contact, that alone ranks second still in the NFL in total rushing yards this season. It's, you know, no clear issue with what Derrick Henry has done this year. It's been nothing short of spectacular. And it's just tough to see this happen to a player of his caliber at this point in the season, a guy who was, you know, looking to go for a second straight 2,000-yard season potentially. But right now, terrible foot injury for Derrick Henry. He's going to have surgery. Hope to be back within, I would say, 8 weeks is the best window for Derrick Henry coming out of this one. So the other thing to consider immediately this morning was potential trade options at running back. There's a lot, you know, lack of depth and a lack of total carries on this Titans run game outside of Derrick Henry. So there was a lot of names that were thrown out there this morning, but we have now since learned that the Tennessee Titans have signed Adrian Peterson, a free agent running back, you know, longtime star in this league, future Hall of Famer. He's coming back now, making his return with the Tennessee Titans. And AP all day. We'll see what he can do in Tennessee. We know how they like to pound the rock. But right now, this team, you know, it's a huge loss for this team, huge loss for the offense, especially that relies and runs mainly off of El Tractorcito and Derrick Henry. But I think they're set up pretty right now if you're the Tennessee Titans. They just had a big win last week over the Indianapolis Colts, the second time they beat them this season. So now they're sitting comfortably. You know, they still got to play the Jaguars and the Texans in that division. I think they can easily come away a 6-0 in this division and sit really tight, really pretty and really right on top of this division throughout the rest of the season. So when they get Derrick Henry back toward the end of the year, potentially in playoffs, they're in line for potential home field advantage in that first round by winning their division. And I think that's still at the case right now. It's a hard road ahead for the Indianapolis Colts to win this division right now with what's happened, you know, falling 0-2 now against the Titans head-to-head. Titans have a very easy road ahead, even without Derrick Henry, to still get a pretty secured spot in the playoffs this year, especially how wide open the AFC looks right now. No real strong teams are coming out of it. Everyone's had issues throughout the last 8 weeks. So Titans, I think, are still in a great spot without Derrick Henry in terms of what you look at toward playoff time. Still think they get a high seed. Still think they get home field advantage and get Tractorcito back and ready to rumble come January. So now let's go back to the NFC. We talked about a potential top seed in the AFC. That could still happen with the Titans. How about a top seed in the NFC that I think has already been established? And that's going to be with the Green Bay Packers. I think they end up with one of the top two seeds in the NFC, potentially even getting that top seed for the second straight year, getting that lucrative first round bye that now only one team gets as of the last 2 years. Because right now the Green Bay Packers have all but locked up the NFC North. And, you know, they have a 4-game lead right now. And actually at 7-1 right now, their record alone is better than the other three teams in their division combined. The Minnesota Vikings, Detroit Lions, and Chicago Bears combined to have only 6 wins this season, while the Packers sitting at 7-1. They're very comfortable right now where they're sitting, now firmly atop, I would say, the NFC after another loss for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Packers are coming off a big win head-to-head against the Arizona Cardinals. Both teams are 2-0 in their division. We look at the Cardinals and Packers head-to-head in terms of who gets this top seed in the end game in the NFC. If this holds true with their division, which is saying a lot for the Arizona Cardinals now with what the Rams are putting together, San Francisco is getting a little bit healthier. Eventually, Russell Wilson will return for the Seattle Seahawks. It's asking a lot for the Arizona Cardinals to potentially continue on this streak they're running through in the NFC West. But for the NFC North and Green Bay Packers, very heavy road ahead, or very easy road ahead, excuse me, for the Green Bay Packers. They've already beat the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears once. Still got 2 games upcoming against the Minnesota Vikings, and then they got Bears and Lions again. But the way the NFC North is sitting right now, Green Bay should look, you know, feel very, very open to where they're at right now and really enjoy where they're sitting right now in terms of their organization, in terms of, you know, potentially getting a top seed in the NFC. And I think it's possible for the Green Bay Packers that they get that number one seed yet again this season. In terms of what this team's doing right now, in terms of what they've overcome, and in terms of what's coming in the future for the Green Bay Packers. Today in practice, they got Alan Lazard back, who was a close contact, missed Thursday's game against the Cardinals due to Davante Adams testing positive for COVID-19. Davante should be back on Thursday for the Green Bay Packers, which means within the next 2 to 3 weeks, the Green Bay Packers will be getting back 4 all-pro players to this roster that's already 7-1 this season, because they'll get Davante Adams back. David Bakhtiari has until, I believe, Wednesday to officially get activated from the PUP list, and he will rejoin this team who hasn't played since January, since tearing his ACL. That's going to be huge in terms of getting him back at left tackle. You move Elgton Jenkins back to left guard. Josh Myers, get him back, the rookie center of Ohio State. Now that offensive line around Aaron Rodgers is fully at its full effect and full force for the first time this season. And on defense, Za'Darius Smith back in the facility today for the Green Bay Packers. He should hopefully come back within the next 2 weeks. And Jair Alexander should be a 2 to 3 week return from the IR for him as well. This defense is playing very great and very scary right now for the Green Bay Packers. And they get Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith back, it's going to be a tough team. And the way they played this season, the way they've been playing against teams, just getting wins, hasn't been pretty, but wins are wins in the National Football League. 7-1 start. One of the hottest teams in the NFL right now is the Green Bay Packers, and that's why I could see them getting that number one seed for the second straight year in the NFC. Continuing on here with Overreaction Monday, let's keep things in the NFC North and go to Chicago now and talk about a big game we saw, not for the Bears, but for Justin Fields this past week. Justin Fields had arguably his best game of his career so far this past weekend against the San Francisco 49ers without head coach Matt Nagy, who is out for the game, testing positive for COVID-19 during the week last week. And Justin Fields, as a result, had 70.4 completion percentage, 175 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. However, had 103 yards on 10 carries on the ground with another rushing touchdown where, you know, he snapped the ball, was looking, you know, a designated pass, started moving to the right, nothing was there, circled all the way back around to the left, got some space and found his way into the end zone. See athletic plays that we should expect to see week in and week out from Justin Fields, and he finally made that this week for the Chicago Bears. It's still a loss, 33-22 against the San Francisco 49ers, but that arguably was the best game Justin Fields has played so far in his career without Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy is holding back the athletic potential of Justin Fields and this entire offense, and, you know, in result, the entire team. I don't understand how he's still there. I don't understand how he's still the head coach. Yes, you know, he's dealing with some stuff right now, testing positive with COVID-19, trying to battle back from that right now, and hope he does so, and gets over this and gets healthy again. But as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, I don't know how he is still there. I don't know how he is still employed as the head coach of the Chicago Bears right now with what they're doing. I think it's officially time to fire him. Bill Lazor did a great job this past weekend, really weaponizing Justin Fields' strengths for the first time this season in what no other coach has been able to do so far this year for the Chicago Bears, especially not Matt Nagy. So I think it's officially time for Matt Nagy to be fired. I called for it last week. I'm going to call for it again this week. I think it's officially time for the Chicago Bears. Right now, 3-5. They lost 3 straight games now. Something's got to get fixed. Something's got to get right. But Justin Fields, this past week against San Francisco without Matt Nagy, he looked great and had the best game of his career so far this season. Let's talk about some more playoffs here, just because I enjoy talking about it so much, especially once we start getting here toward the halfway point of the year where we start to see some teams start pulling away. And another big win on Sunday, I guess you could call it last night when the game ended. But New England Patriots against the LA Chargers, Bill Belichick continues his dominant run against teams coming off their bye week. Patriots traveled to LA and took on the Rams in their house. We've talked about it before, the issue with the LA Chargers and their home crowds and their home games. and you know how they deserve better at home. But that's not on the Chargers, excuse me. It's not on Los Angeles. That's on the league for taking them out of San Diego, which was their home and still is their home. But let's get back to this game. Chargers against the Patriots. Patriots took them down 27-24, a typical Patriot win. The defense shined in this game. A lot of game management on the offense, a lot of running on the offense, really heavily utilizing the running backs in this one. Damien Harris got out to an early lead for the Patriots, getting a touchdown early in that game. And from then on, it was just containment, containing that LA Chargers offense that has looked great at times this season, but also at times has looked vulnerable. They're back on that vulnerable side yesterday against the New England Patriots. Great overall win by the overall New England Patriots. This overall team is improving right now. Mac Jones is getting a lot more confident, but they're also not really relying on him to make plays, which is the Patriot way. It's the way they've always done it. It's the way they're continuing to do it this year with Mac Jones at quarterback. But my overreaction from this one, 4-4 start now after 8 games, even 500 for the New England Patriots. My overreaction is I think the Patriots could sneak into a wild card spot. I honestly think they can do it right now at 4-4 because I think 9-8 likely gets them in. The way the AFC has played this year, I think if they get a 9-8 start of the season, they have already won two against the Jets. They're probably going to lose both against the Bills. So then they just really, it comes up to those Miami games for the New England Patriots in terms of their division and what they have. They already, I believe, already won one game against the Miami Dolphins. So they got one more coming up here if you look at their schedule, what they got coming up here if you're the Patriots. But 9-8. I think 9-8 is the lucky number for the Patriots to potentially get into a wild card spot. They lost the first one. That's right. Earlier in the season, week one against the Miami Dolphins. Earlier in the season against the Dolphins. Lost that first game. So they can split with the Dolphins. Like I said, lose two against the Bills. They've already won two against the New York Jets. So now they can finish 3-3 in their division, which I think is sitting right. We'll just have to see how it falls out with the rest of the AFC in terms of looking at the playoff picture. But I still think 9-8 is that lucky number if you continue out the rest of the season. And what they got coming up on their schedule, if you are the New England Patriots, they got Carolina this coming week. Then they got with the rest of their schedule, Cleveland Browns, Atlanta Falcons, Tennessee Titans, Buffalo Bills, Indianapolis Colts, Buffalo Bills again, and then they got Jaguars and Miami to finish out the season. That's their lucky ones there, is those Jaguars and Miami's game, Jaguar game and Miami game at the end of the year, which should right now on paper looks like two easy wins for the New England Patriots. Bills will be the tough ones. Tennessee's going to be interesting now without Derrick Henry. I did it early, say earlier in this episode that I do think that they sit, Titans are still sitting pretty and should survive without Derrick Henry, but that's now one to circle and keep in mind in the coming weeks. Carolina will be interesting this week. Carolina has not looked great the last few weeks, but they did win this past Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, and also that Falcons game coming up. So overall, moral of the story is 9-8, I think, could be the lucky number. Patriots win 5 of their next 9 games and get to that 9-8, win 5 of their final games. I think that they're sitting pretty right now in terms of what they've got coming up here if you're the New England Patriots. And I think they get to that 9-8 number. We could potentially be seeing the Patriots and Bill Belichick sneak back into the playoffs as a wild card team. All right, keeping things moving along here on this Overreaction Monday, I want to take a quick step back to the NFC North again because I want to poke them. I want to poke the 0-8 Detroit Lions, who at the beginning of the year, they look competitive against some of the opponents they were playing, facing up against. Dan Campbell realized his squad was in a lot of games. They're coming back in games. They're keeping things close, and they're right on the cuff of winning their first game of the season. In fact, I was on board. I was a believer in Dan Campbell and the Fighting Dan Campbells and what they're doing in Detroit, up to the fact that where I took Detroit this past weekend to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. I took them to win that game over the Eagles. And instead, all competitive juice was gone out of the Detroit Lions. A 44-6 loss to the now 3-5 Philadelphia Eagles. They were 2-5 coming into that game. And now the Detroit Lions fall to 0-8 on the season. They did not look competitive at all in this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. They completely got ran all over by the Eagles in that game. It wasn't just it wasn't just one running back either. It was Jalen Hurts. It was Jordan Howard. It was Boston Scott. A little bit of Kenneth Gainwell. Everyone got involved in the running game against the Detroit Lions. A abysmal performance. No touchdowns in this game. I believe it was 2 field goals for the Detroit Lions. Terrible performance by the Lions. No competitive spirit in this one. And now, like I said, 0-8 they fall to on the season now this year for the Detroit Lions. My overreaction, this team with no competitive fire anymore could go 0-17 this season. They could be the first team in NFL history to go 0-7. Detroit has history with winless seasons. They've done it before, going 0-16 in the past. But right now, I think it's time you put the Detroit Lions on 0-17 watch going forward the rest of the season. This week they're going into the bye at 0-8, and Dan Campbell has to get something right before they come out of this bye, because they're coming back against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who looked great as of late the past few games. And you talk about running all over them. Najee Harris has had a great start to his rookie campaign. He can get things going in 2 weeks when Detroit comes off their bye. And then they got the Cleveland Browns, potentially where a game where Kareem Hunt can return with Nick Chubb, who returned this past weekend. They should run all over the Detroit Lions. And then you continue out the rest of the season this year for the Detroit Lions. Chicago Bears, Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, Arizona Cardinals, Atlanta Falcons, Seattle Seahawks, and the Green Bay Packers to finish out in week 18. Tell me where you find a win on that schedule throughout the rest of the season. The only shot I would say Detroit has is week 18, a potential bye week, extra bye week before the playoffs for the Green Bay Packers, and a potential Jordan Love start game. But even then, I don't know if the Detroit Lions could even pull that off in week 18 to get that win. So I'm going to put a claimer on it, put a stamp on it. Detroit Lions are officially on 0-17 watch after an 0-8 start to the season going into their bye week. That will be my last overreaction of the day. Poor Lions, man. Dan Campbell, he deserves better. And he's trying to get better out of his squad right now, but it's not there anymore. The competitive juice is gone. The competitive flair is gone after this past week. I don't see it ever returning this season. So say hello to the number one pick and say goodbye to any chances you have of winning this season if you're the Detroit Lions. That's up. That wraps up our overreaction Monday. Before we get out of here, we're going to also take a quick look of what we have coming up the next 24 hours with the trade deadline. Update on Deshaun Watson. In my opinion, it doesn't look like a trade is going to happen within the next 24 hours. There's still a lot of legal contingencies going on with Deshaun Watson. Their asking price has gone up ever since the Houston Texans have realized that Deshaun Watson will be allowed to play immediately as of now if a new team were to sign him. So the Carolina Panthers were quick to get out of that. And now it seems like the Miami Dolphins, the only team left in the sweepstakes, are also set to get out of the sweepstakes, at least for now. This is going to be something that obviously will get revisited during the offseason, but seems like as of today and as of right now, Deshaun Watson will stay a Houston Texan throughout the remainder of this year and continue to sit on the couch and collect his checks and not suit up for the Houston Texans. But there's still some other names to keep in mind. Marlon Mack, the Indianapolis Colts, he's voiced some frustrations with the team. He could potentially be on the move to a running back needy team. Kyle Fuller as well with the Denver Broncos, the name that I've been mentioning a lot. He could be on the move to some cornerback needy teams. But also going back to the Houston Texans, they did trade Mark Ingram. Another name that I thought to keep an eye on would be Brandon Cooks, but now seeming more unlikely that Cooks will be traded within the next 24 hours, which is unfortunate for me and my Green Bay Packers. I really hope he'll make a move. Odell Beckham, name that's always heavily involved with during the trade deadline each and every year. I don't think he's on the move. I think he stays. Cleveland Browns would be smart to keep him. They just got to ultimately on that offense get healthy and get the chemistry going. That's not going to happen if you trade Odell Beckham Jr. I think he's a, you know, still a pivotal part of this offense. If he's healthy, if Baker Mayfield's healthy and they get back on the same page, they'll be just fine offensively. But, you know, those three things have to happen first. So I don't think Odell Beckham will be on the move. But another one to keep in mind also could be Fletcher Cox. He has expressed some frustrations with his team in the Philadelphia Eagles. Potentially he could be on the move within the coming weeks. And also the one we mentioned at the beginning of today's show, Nick Foles. See if he gets traded from the Chicago Bears to a team like the Saints that desperately need a quarterback right now, that are sitting pretty right now in their division and with their record, that just lost their quarterback for the season. I think Nick Foles could be on the move within the next 24 hours. It could be a big one that we could see happening here before the end of the trade deadline. So keep in mind, look out for all those the coming week, coming hours, you could say. Von Miller's a big one earlier today. See if any other big ones fall within the next 24 hours, which I think could potentially happen. But each year, we're always disappointed by the trade deadline anyways. But I like getting worked up about it and seeing what could potentially unfold in the NFL at the midseason point. Now let's look ahead to Monday Night Football tonight. Kansas City Chiefs against the New York Football Giants. Kenny Golladay and Saquon Barkley will be out yet again for this one, but Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney should play for the New York Giants coming into this game against a defense that's been pretty much Swiss cheese for the Kansas City Chiefs, but an offense that looked even worse last week against the Tennessee Titans. Patrick Mahomes' offense has to get back on track. Can they do so against a New York Giants defense that has picked it up as of late? Should be a great game. I'm excited to see what happens in this one. It's a tough one to pick. You know, it's easy to look at Kansas City in prime time here in a game against a what many consider a subpar team. I would be one to consider them that with a record so far this season. But the New York Giants have some playmakers, and they could potentially get the better of them in this game. It's going to be an exciting one to watch. I honestly don't know what to pick. I don't know what to pick in this game. But it's going to be a great one. It's going to be a fun one to watch and see how this goes back and forth. This one easily could be a close game that leads to an upset or a potential blowout by the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't know. It's the joy of the NFL each and every week. But it's going to be an exciting Monday Night Football game. We'll see what happens here with the New York Football Giants taking on the Kansas City Chiefs to wrap up Week 8. And after this game and upcoming with the following or upcoming here into Week 9, be on the lookout for NFL power rankings that will come out tomorrow morning on Tuesday, November 2nd. There's going to be a little bit of shakeups on our rankings that we're excited to break down each and every week. So excited to do that going into Week 9 as well. Thank you all for listening and tuning in to the Sol Sports Show. Having a lot of fun with this new setup. And they're upcoming. We're going to try some new things out with our show that will be returning on Sunday live on YouTube at the Sol Sports Show and on WSOE 89.3. We'll get back on that this weekend and get things rolling along to preview Week 9. But I might change it up. My fantasy picks have not done great so far, but I've been doing great with my upsets and my picks and everything else. So I might just do that more or less into these games. Just, you know, more dive into it and actually pick these games and start tracking records in this one instead of some fantasy starts and sits, which I'm sure have been disappointing a lot of people. So if you've been actually listening to my advice, I could just keep doing it and you could just fade whatever I say. But I think it's more beneficial to switch things up. But nevertheless, thank you all for watching listening, tuning in to today's episode. Thank you for the continued support. And until next time, peace.